Good evening. My name is Francesca Valente, and I'm the director of the Istituto Italiano di Cultura in Los Angeles. I met Irving Layton in Milan 33 years ago at the Gallia Hotel. The day after I was introduced to him, he gave me a poem entitled For Francesca. It was the only poem I ever received in my life. And I was convinced that a deep emotional and intellectual bond was established. I was asked to organize the tour for the Canadian poet in northern Italy and arrange the presentation of the Cold Green Element just off the press. In Milan, we met the leading Italian poet Vittorio Sereni at the British Council, where Layton's first public reading in Italy took place. In Vicenza, my hometown, we were welcomed at the railway station by over 60 students with banners inscribed with quotes from his most celebrated poems that they had studied with great curiosity and interest. The formal reading took place in the same hall where Goethe read several times in his journey to Italy. The Italian journey included Padova and Venice. Padova, the oldest university town in Italy together with Bologna, hosted him in the same hall where Galileo Galilei taught his students anatomy. In Venice, I was fortunate enough to secure La Sala degli Specchi at Cadolfin, where Ezra Pound used to read his poems before he chose to become a silenced harp, as A.M. Klein would have said. There, too, Layton read to a full house. Why did so many students and scholars in Italy find his poetry so attractive? How did Layton acquire an international reputation? He has been translated so far by 5 top translators into Italian and is studied in every major university in Italy. Maybe the answer is given by Andrea Zanzotto, the most important Italian living poet, who wrote in an appreciation to the Italian poems that I translated as follows. Quote, Layton, the Canadian, who feels European, Jewish, and Mediterranean, is strongly attuned to the seductions of the ruins of Rome and of Italy. An ambiguous country, he ambiguously and impetuously seduces and enjoys. End of quote. Or the answer can be found in Mario Luzzi, a leading Florentine poet, who wrote, in Irving Layton, Europe and Italy have come to know a poet made from an ancient mold for whom nothing is profane. Layton's trip to Italy was followed by the lucky and curious coincidence of my being awarded a fellowship to study Canadian literature in Toronto with Northrop Frye and Marshall McLuhan. In 1977, I spent a whole academic year in Toronto, and I was blessed by special meetings with Irving Layton. He was very interested in Italian cinema, in particular in Liliana Cavani and Federico Fellini, which later led to a memorable encounter in Italy with Fellini himself. We saw together, among many others, Casanova by Fellini and The Night Porter by Cavani, and each time he wrote passionate and vehement articles of appreciation to counterbalance what he thought was the destructive approach of the Canadian film critics. When I started a new career at the Italian Cultural Institute in Toronto, I introduced Irving Layton to many writers and poets, such as Giorgio Bassani, whom Irving and I translated, actually, for an evening here in this very room. Giorgio Bassani read to a full house. And then also he met painters such as Aligi Sassu, to whom he dedicated a poem and with whom he later produced a portfolio. Carlo Mattioli, another distinguished artist, illustrated a selection of Leighton's poems entitled The Tamed Puma. His connection with Italy became closer and stronger every year, so much so that a group of Italian scholars submitted his nomination to the Nobel Committee in Sweden. Before being transferred back to Italy, I visited Irving Leighton in Montreal with my husband, Branko Goriup. At that point, Irving was living in a retirement home. After our encounter, the emotion Branko and I felt was so strong that we decided there and then to start a bilingual series dedicated to Canadian poetry. The first volume was a selection of Leighton's Italian poems. It covered the span of 20 years and was entitled The Baffled Hunter, Il Cacciatore Sconcertato, illustrated by the artist Enzo Cucchi. Leighton, the Paul Volcker, has acquired also in Italy a permanent position in the Olympus of poetry. In Italy, and precisely in Sicily, he was confronted with something remote, prehistoric, if not biblical. On the brim of Etna, the Sicilian volcano, on the edge of the abyss, he's disconcerted by the primal incandescence of the satanic lava, slouching like a primordial snake in the presence of a hieroglyph to be deciphered. He is left baffled by the mystery and complexity of the universe itself. I will now read from the poem Etna. Etna, ugly and desolate, the frozen waves of scoria extend everywhere around me. The dreary waste seems a dismal tableau of chaos, a representation, a crazed and fallen angel fixed to all eternity under the wide, dismantling sky, in alto rilievo, in satanic rock, to image forever formlessness and disarray, perhaps an immense, horrendous hieroglyph baked in this forlorn plain for Babylonian stars to decipher. Respirando i fetidi vapori sulfure, guardo giù nell'abisso e vedo un enorme cumulo ancora ardente di primordiale incandescenza scorrermi davanti ai piedi. Un singolo strato di roccia fusa avanza lento e condannato e greve, come rettile preistorico colpito verso la sfregiata rampa elicoidale, mentre osservo, come cacciatore sconcertato da un remoto sperduto promontorio, il suo spirare freddo e senza fremiti sul ciglio ripugnante dell'aspra scarpata.